Welcome to the New Life Millbrook Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about this podcast or other resources, please visit nlmillbrook.com.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Happy Father's Day. I'm so happy to be up here and be able to share the word today with you guys. I want to give a very special happy Father's Day to all of our dads out there. We're so happy that you guys are with us today. Thank you. And I hope you guys have such a great day, spending quality time with your kids, making memories, getting things like gift cards, and quiet, I think is what most of you guys have hoped for this year. So it'll be good. I want to give a special shout out to my dad. He's not paying attention yet, but he will. Yeah, he's been like a father to me for quite some time. I feel like most of my life he's been around. There's one thing that I've learned from Dad is that he's a great dad, not because he says he is, and not because he's paid me to say that, but no, he's really an amazing dad. And I think the longer I've lived, the more I've realized that there's no such thing as a perfect dad who doesn't make mistakes. Dads make mistakes. They make big mistakes sometimes. We fail. But the thing that my dad has taught me is that you get back up. And if I could pick one quality to emulate from Dad today, and there's a lot to choose from, but if I could only pick one, I would say it's that one, is that he gets back up, he recognizes, and he makes adjustments. He shifts when he needs to shift. And the thing about Dad is he's not okay with getting knocked down more than once. Most of you guys know, or some of you didn't know, but when he was in high school, when he had long hair, and when he had hair, he was a wrestler. And you don't like getting knocked down and staying down. You get back up, you learn. You learn how to pivot. You learn how to move. And that's the thing that my dad has taught me, is that failure is not getting knocked down. Failure is not getting back up. So thanks. Thanks for showing that I can get back up again in life and move forward. I'm not crying, you're crying. So, did it get hot in here? Itchy suit? I don't know what's going on. Let's move on. We're going to pray and then we'll dive in. God, we just thank you for what a wonderful Father you are and how you have shown us true love. And that you show us, oh God, how to live life. And in your word and in the words that you have given to us over the millennia, that you continue to show us that you don't change, that you're not an angry, furious father who does not like their kids, but one who loves us and continually seeking relationship with those that you love. And we thank you so much for it. In your name. Amen. I love summer. It's definitely one of my top five seasons in Alabama. What are you laughing at?
Tornado season.
You've got fall, winter, spring, summer, and when did I die and go to hell? So the summer aspect is still inside. You ever walk outside and the ground just crunches? Like, that's Alabama. You're like, oh, my word. It's crazy. When I lived in Southwest Florida, we would come from Southwest Florida. It's low to visit here and would not go outside here because it's hotter here than it was down there. Now, I love summer. I love the beach. I got to take my kids to the beach this past weekend. The beach is my happy place. I love to go to it. You just sit, put your toes in the sand. You hear the ocean. You experience that. It's fun to watch people get wiped out by waves. Yesterday I was there and I put my phone on and just did a live stream that people could enjoy the beach. And I didn't realize until after, I walked away from my phone. I just walked away, just played with my kids, did everything else, came back. Didn't realize that other people were walking in front of my camera. Strangers. And if you watch the video, there's one lady that just gets wiped out by a wave. And she can't get back up again. She's trying, and it hits her again. And again, it's in the background. I'm there just playing with my kids, and there's a lady drowning 10 feet behind me. Just can't get back up. It was great. But I love the beach. I love going and playing. I love watching my kids experience things. I like to dive in. I like to find sand dollars or seashells. I like to find those things. Those make me happy to do. And it's just fun to relax. And I'm sitting there, and you're just in awe of creation. I think that's the thing that gets me about the summertime and going to the beach. When you go snow skiing, it's a lot of work. It's work. Like, at the beach, you slow down and you can just be. And you can relax. And what's great is you never see the same view twice. There's never the same wave. There's never the same anything. It's always a different experience. And that one experience just ended and gave you a new one over and over and over again. And as you sit there, you get to have the experience of just relaxing and meditating and watching and being quiet. Have you done that recently? Have you just gone outside and just looked at what God did? Just taken a moment to see what he did. And to see the creation that he has done for us. In fact, let's go ahead and let's take a look at it. Genesis chapter 2, famous passage, the story of creation. And as you guys go into it, I hope to pull out a couple of nuggets today for Father's Day that you guys can experience. And here we go, Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. If you don't have a Bible, it's okay, it's going to be on the screen. And we're going to read out of the NIV, and we're going to go from there. All right. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. This tells us at this moment, God's done. Verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had begun doing. So on that seventh day, he, what's that word? Rested from all of his, here's a key word, work. God rested from all of his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he had rested from all that, keyword, work, which he had done. I've never noticed the word work so many times in this passage before in my life. When God created, he introduced something that we got to pay attention to. He showed us different speeds of life. If you're taking notes, we're talking about the speed, three speeds of life. Have you thought about that? That life is full of different paces. How about this verse? Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through, I think we're going to go through 9, maybe through 7. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, he is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." What this tells us here is to love God first. Teach your kids to love God more than money, more than fame, more than likes, more than friends. Teach them to love it more than positions, more than possessions. Teach them to love God more than vacations or their dreams or their hopes. Teach them to love God first and foremost. Love God more than your own life, more than your own spouse, more than your own kids. Love God first. You don't love God as 1A and then everything else, like your kids and your spouse and your job, is 1B. No, you love God as first, second, and third place in your life. He holds it all. Come on, somebody. I know it's been a while, but I need somebody to talk back to me a little bit. Verse 6, "This commandment I give to you today, that they are to be on your hearts." Verse 7, "Impress them on your kids. Talk about them when you," here's a key word, here's a position, "sit at home, when you are," here's another one, "walk along the road, and when you lie down, and then when you get back up." It's telling us that there's different speeds of life, and these speeds, we have to transfer this information over to our kids. And I love this because when God created the earth, we get to sit down in our beach chairs and marvel at what he did. There should naturally come an appreciation when it comes to what he has done for us and what he did. And I think inside of every human's life, there is this, wow, look at this view. Look at this experience. And here's the thing, that we get to appreciate the gift, but we have to love the giver. We appreciate the gift, which is creation. We love the giver, which is the creator. This is what Paul's showing us in Romans 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We're going to pull up in the Message Bible today. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary lives. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and you're walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. This is the shifting of gears. This is the speed moves that we have. We have to navigate and we have to transfer. But they're fixing to put a picture on here of an old truck. Now, this truck was not my exact vehicle, but this is when I was 16 years old. My dad, gave me a truck. Let me borrow his truck. And parents understand that differentiation, that he didn't give me anything. He loaned me a vehicle, which I treated horribly. This is the 1993 Chevy S10 pickup truck. It was a beauty. It had a 2.8 V6. It was a manual transmission. My first vehicle at 16 years old was a manual. Now, here's the problem with that, is that I had illegally used vehicles before this moment. So I was experienced enough before 15 or 16 to get behind a wheel, gas, brake, drive, stay between the light lines, you're going to be okay. But all of a sudden, I was thrown another vehicle that didn't just drive. You had to command it. You had to sit there and you had to realize what gears you were going to go from first, second, third, fourth, fifth gear, go reverse. What happens when it pops out of gear? How to use the clutch? When to use the clutch? When do you downshift? When do you shift? You're going through all of this stuff. My dad would tell me and walk me through it on how to drive. Now, here's the thing, though. We would sit in the truck and he would talk to me about driving before I ever drove. He would have me sit in the driveway and slap out with no keys. Remember, I turned 16 in July, so July is when did I die and go to hell. No AC, and sit there, manually roll down my windows and sit in the driveway in my truck, put the clutch in, go to first gear, go to second gear, go to third gear, go to fourth, go to fifth, go back down to third. And then we would ask questions like, when you're going up a hill and you're in fifth gear and all of a sudden you're losing momentum, what do? How do you shift? When do you make that move? What happens when if you stay in first gear too long? What's the RPMs that you shift? Like, you're going through all of these things that he's teaching me. And here's the thing, guys, is that in life we're the same way. There's times you shift gears. There's times in my life where I've realized I can't stay and function in this gear. I can't stay and succeed in the speed that I'm currently going. I have to downshift. That's a big hill. Fifth gear is not going to work. It was always fun, though, when you're going downhill, you just put the clutch in, put it in neutral, and just coast. And you'd build so much speed. And then there was a state trooper. All right. Several of them. Thanks, Dad. All right. I had like, what was it? 8 tickets, 8 wrecks in 8 months, something like that. It was something bizarre. 4 tickets, 4 wrecks in 4 months. It's been 20-something years, Dad. Time to let go. All right. Oh, my gosh. Our first gear is found in Genesis chapter 2, we just read. It's the speed of life. If this is a pace, it's a run. Some of you guys be like, I get it, Pete. It's life on the run. Which is true, but let me Alan Cova version this. It's getting stuff done. Your first speed of work is getting stuff done. And this is funny, but God tells us that work is good. We have to work, we have to provide, and we get to stay busy. I'm going to go through all three gears real quick, and then we'll break them down. The second gear, as we shift, downshift a little bit, is going to be the speed of love, which is going to be like a pace of a walk. The speed of love is relationships. You can't do relationships at a high speed. You got to slow down. As Dad would say, love is called, it's called a love walk, not a love run, for a reason. You can't love well on the run. And it's here where you're going to engage emotionally. It's here where you're going to accomplish and you're going to calm down and you're going to connect with everybody. This is the feeling side of life. The third shift, as we downshift even more, is going to be the speed of learn. It's the position of sitting. As Dad used to tell me, sit down, shut up, and learn something. This only happens when you sit down. This is the reason why we don't do good education systems on playgrounds. Sit down and learn. Calm down. What you're trying to accomplish here is you're trying to get rooted and get your kids rooted so they can succeed for the rest of their lives. So the speed of life is the doing. The speed of love is the feeling. The speed of learning is the thinking. And each one has their own speed. Now I'm going to take the remainder of time and kind of break this thing down. But I want to establish something real quick. If I can have a sidebar, if I can just pivot for just a second and get on a soapbox for a second. One of our greatest accomplishments is not going to be in biblical Bible verse memorization. One of our best accomplishments is forming a proper biblical worldview. Okay. Rabbi Zacharias said this, and I love this. It is a lens. I wish I could do his accent. How cool would that be if I could just trigger the Rabbi Zacharias voice? It is the lens which we viewed the world that answers these four basic questions. Where did we come from? What does life mean? What is the right way to live? And what happens after we die? Your worldview answers these questions in one way or another, and those answers have a direct impact on your values and your actions. Therefore, a biblical worldview is one that is shaped by the Bible and centered on the person and the work of Christ Jesus. Simply put, your worldview is how you view your world. And here's what's going on. If I can, just for a moment, have a little bit of permission, but your worldview is being adjusted without your permission. Your lenses are being changed, and you're waking up in the mornings and putting your glasses back on, and you're not seeing things the way you used to see them any longer. Because without permission, without paying attention, people are beginning to change how you view this world. Especially about being a man. Being a man is single-handedly one of the biggest things that's being destroyed in this world right now. The world has now painted, and I say the world, let's say culture. Culture has painted dads as the dumbest creatures on this earth that need to be rescued by their kids. Watch TV, watch a movie. It is a dad coming through, being a moron, not understanding anything, wrecking everything, and at the end of the episode, his kids will sit him down and say, "Dad, you're an idiot, and here's why we're better than you." This is what's happening in our society today. It's creating this idea inside of dads, if I can, that what's the point because no one cares. It's creating an idea inside of dads now that maybe life would be better without them. It's creating an idea inside of dads that we're doing nothing but getting in the way anyways. Now what you're seeing right now is that when you're destroying what it means to be a dad, you're tearing down what it means to be a man, the nation itself is becoming fractured. This isn't an anti-feminist or a sexist talk. But the reality is that God created two genders for two reasons. And when you single-handedly morph them into one thing or don't care enough about each other, then what you're doing is you're devaluing who you were created to be. It's creating this one-size-fits-all thing, and that's not what God did. God didn't create one animal. He didn't create one sunset. Here's the beautiful thing. If I tell everybody to close your eyes and picture your best, your favorite sunset, the most ideal sunset of your life, some of you guys are going to be at the beach, some of you are going to be at the mountain, some of you are going to be in air conditioning because you don't like to be outside. It's going to be on TV. I'll take that one. Because your sunset and how you view things is you. God created you to be you. He didn't create you to be me. And men, listen up. You are valuable and you are valued in this society. We need men to be men yet again. Just a real quick, and I'm going to stay on my soapbox for just a couple minutes. You know, Jesus was a man. I know that's wrong, but newsflash, he was a man. Jesus, as a man, shows us what it means to be a man. Just a couple things. He was a leader. You can see that in Luke chapter 9. He led men. Being a man means you lead. Doesn't mean that you're a dictator. Doesn't mean that you don't have to delegate. It doesn't mean that you don't pivot and allow other people to make decisions. But what it does is we are going in a direction as a family, and this is the direction we're going. This is what's happening. Be a leader. It's okay. Well, I don't have an opinion. You have an opinion. Be a man. He prayed and had relationship with God. That's what it means to be a man. Connecting with the man. Mark chapter 1, you can see that. John 13, Jesus was sensitive. He understood the situations that he was walking into and could make adjustments based on what was needed at that time. John 19, bro, was tough. Picture this for a second. See, I understand that most of our mosaics have Jesus 120 pounds soaking wet. He was born into a family of carpenters. He worked a lot. After his arrest, he was beaten and brutally, just physically beaten down all night long. He was beaten with hands, he was beaten with rods, he was whipped, he had a crown of thorns placed on his head, and then he had his clothes ripped off from him all night long. Then they put on a few hundred pounds. These aren't 1x4s. These are big, heavy pieces of wood as a cross to carry up a mountain, which he did almost the whole way. You gotta be strong. I'm pretty confident Jesus was yoked. You laugh at me. How about this? He stood up for injustice. Remember the money changers. Paul may have been different because Paul was an educator. Sorry, I know I'm not picking on teachers, but hear me out for a second. When Paul goes into the temple, they look at him and they want to jump him. Jesus walks into the temple, gets angry, single-handedly flips over tables, grabs a whip, and starts beating people down, and you think anybody moved? Mm-mm. No one's like, we can take him. There's a lot of us. I'm pretty confident he was huge. He had to have been. To make everybody, when you start messing with people's money, be like, nah, I ain't gonna, yeah, he's good. Just do what you gotta do. We'll clean up later. Yeah. Say the Incredible Hulk. I mean, like, this is a beautiful thing. He had fishermen, men's men, look at him and be like, whatever he says, guys. Jesus wasn't a pansy. He was a man. Luke chapter 2 tells us he was full of wisdom. Men, be smart. Educate yourselves. Read. Listen to podcasts. Continue to grow in your wisdom. Understand what's happening in our world. He sacrificed himself for others. That's what it means to be a man. Those 7 things are beautiful. One of the quickest ways to undo culture is to destroy and undo manhood. I understand this isn't a popular topic because I'm going to get hate mail. But you don't know my address, so there you go. I'll move. Yeah, it's one of those things where being a man doesn't mean being a quiet man-child in the corner who has nothing to say. No. Stand up for righteousness. Micah chapter 6 tells us that we fight injustice, but we're still humble. I'm going to move on. The speed of life was what? It's a run. The speed of life is a run. You were created to get stuff done. All of us were created to work. And I got something to tell you. W-O-R-K is not a cuss word. But Pete, I thought we were redeemed. You are redeemed. You're redeemed to get stuff done. It's what you're redeemed from. The curse, to get stuff done. The idea of becoming a full spiritual being is not that you sit on the beach all day, but that you're more productive than you were beforehand. Oh, come on, somebody. God starts off the Bible with him working. He continues to work today. He's taking the ashes and making something beautiful out of it in your life today. He continually works on me. He continually works on you. God's not done working. And if he's going to work, so should you. Dads, teach your kids the value of a good work ethic, please. And the truth is that work brings a good sense of accomplishment, doesn't it? God worked and goes, it's good. That looks good. I don't know, any guys, like you're big, meticulous on your yard. Dad, God bless America. Your dad loves his yard. I'm afraid to walk on his grass sometimes. Drive by his house. There's perfect lines. I've wondered if he tapes it off with painter's tape and then cuts and then pulls. It's ridiculous. Perfect lines across it. It's beautiful. One time, one of my tires was on his driveway and it was like this far over. I had to repark the whole car. Now, don't touch my grass. All right. But here's the thing: whether you're cutting grass, whether you're pressure washing your house, you're painting a room, you're doing a project, you get done and you back up and you look at what you just did. Looks good. Looks really good. Kids! Come look what I did! What'd you do, Dad? That. What'd you do? What do you mean, what did I do? Look at that. Why is everything wet? What do you mean? Did you not see the mold? No. No. Work brings a sense of accomplishment. Dad, you're not bad because you work hard. 1 Timothy 5:8 is very clear that if we're not working and we're not providing, we're not okay. It doesn't mean that you don't have senses of when you're in a moment, you don't have a job. But what it does mean is that you are habitually known as somebody who is not working. It questions your even salvation in that moment. Think about that for a second. So don't be ashamed that you are a hardworking man. That's a good thing. Y'all dads are quiet today. I heard a story. The women's was crying. Yeah, ladies, help them out a little bit. I heard this story. I wish it was mine. It's such a beautiful story. It's a true story, but it's not mine, so I can't take full credit of it. But I love a good story, and this is the story that I hear. I hear a pastor, and he's driving. He does a motorcycle trip every year with some of his friends, and they go up the Blue Ridge Parkway, which is a road that's 400-something miles between Virginia and North Carolina. Supposed to be one of the most amazing scenic views you can possibly go through. But what they do is that they go on this road trip every single year. They're excited about this road trip. They talk about this road trip. And then as they go down this road trip, they have a tradition. How many of you guys have vacation traditions? That it's a stop that you make, whether it was on accident or on purpose, but now every year you go. Like me and the kids, when we go to the beach, every year we stop. We stop at this place in Orange Beach or Gulf Shores called Sweet Cone, Alabama. It's an ice cream shop. Mom went with us. It's fantastic. We were pulling out yesterday, and Malachi almost had a meltdown because we didn't go. So I turned around and had to go back to Sweet Cone, Alabama to get him an ice cream cone. There's ice cream on the way, son. No, I want to have it. But they had a tradition. Their tradition was that they stop at the Sixpence Pub, and at the Sixpence Pub, they stop and get pub fries. I love French fries. French fries is my love language. Like, I don't care about a lot of things, but French fries... Come on, somebody. Shout out. There's a place in downtown Montgomery called the Taproom Tavern. And they have the best cheese fries I've ever had in my entire life. It's about this big. Fries covered with chicken. Buffalo chicken is what I get it. Then bacon and cheese and chives. Hallelujah. It's this big. It's that high. It's called the double probation. Let me tell you something. It's like eating an angel. It's like an angel is flying by and they're just churning out some potatoes. And like, oh man, oh well. Yeah, angel. It's fantastic. It's great. So they're on their way. And as you do any good tradition, you talk about it. Hey, we're going to go stop at the pub. Yeah, we're going to get some fries. Yeah, I'm excited. You're excited? I'm excited. Every day they're building themselves up. They get on their bikes. We're going to stop. This is our stop. We're going to make it. Yeah. Absolutely. Then they drive all the way there. They get there. They get off. The lady, they sit down. The waitress like, hey, welcome. They're like, hey, we don't need a menu. She goes, well, we're out of a few things. We don't really care. We're here for two things. We need to get a Coke and some pub fries. She says, well, I'm sorry. Pub fries are one of the two things we're out of. He said, how are you out of pub fries? It's a potato. It's a potato. She's like, well, we're out. He goes, well, we drove. He tells her the story. How far? This is a tradition. This is what we do every year. This is why we do it. Well, she didn't care. We're out. We can't do it. We can't make it happen. He said, please, I'm begging you. This is what we come for. This is all we care about. He said, we're going back and forth for quite some time. To which she's like, sir, I can't help you. So what else can I do for you? To which he looks at her and says something so beautiful. To which he says, what's your name? She said, Michelle. He said, Michelle, is this what you do for a living? She's like, no, I'm a college student. This is just temporary. Oh, college. I remember college. College was great. What are you studying? She said, business. He said, Michelle, you're spending $10,000, tens of thousands of dollars a year for an education about business, and you don't know business. He said, here's the problem, Michelle. You're seeing me and my guys come in just wanting some fries, and what you're doing is you're seeing this as a $5 tip moment. When in reality, pulls it out, it's a $100 tip moment. He said she freaked out. $100? Are you serious? He goes, I'm not joking. She grabbed the money. She hugs the money. I could use this. Start talking about it. He goes, whoop. But it's yours when I get some pub fries. Puts it back on the table. She said, but I can't. There's nothing I can do. He said, figure it out. If you want $100, you're going to figure this one out. What do I do? What do I do? We're out of fries. We're out of potatoes. What do we do? He said, you've got 45 minutes. I'd figure it out. Click. Time's on the clock. What do I do? He goes, I don't know, Michelle. You're in business. You've got a customer. There's collateral on the line. What are you going to do? I don't know. He goes, phone a friend. He said they have, she goes, well, I can't make it to Idaho in time. He goes, Idaho? There's things called grocery stores. He said, at that moment, a light bulb clicked off. And he goes, we didn't see her for 44 minutes and 28 seconds. In which she came by and goes, pow, and drops pub fries. He said, talk to me. What'd you do? She said, I paid two people 10 bucks each to watch my tables. And I went to the grocery store and got those potatoes. He goes, you went? She goes, yeah, my friends are lazy. They wouldn't have done it. She goes, and sometimes you just got to do things yourself. He said, so I got those potatoes, and I ran, and I gave them to the cook. And the cook goes, I'm too busy. She said, so I peeled those potatoes. I sliced each potato. I figured out how to fry a fryer, and I seasoned them. I put them in, and here you go. You've got your pub fries. And he goes, and here you go. Here's your $100. I love that story. I love that story because here's what happens in a lot of our lives is that we're settling for $5 moments. We're taking these moments and thinking that they're just $5 moments and we're missing opportunities. We're missing God-given moments. Here's the principle of that story. Life isn't always easy, but it is within reach. It's not always easy. Don't just settle for it can't be done because it's hard. As the prophet Larry the Cable Guy said, get her done. Get her done. Dad, you got to raise kids who can get her done. You got to have experiences that you can look back and go, I got it done. You can do it too. It's the whole idea is you can go to school and learn about business, but if you can't do business, what you doing? You can go to the Bible and you can read the Bible, but if you can't do the Bible, what you doing? learn how to get things done. And this is the problem, is that we're at Michelle's crossroads where we're settling for $5 kids. We're settling for $5 work habits. We're settling for $5 marriages. We're settling for $5 friends and $5 careers. We're settling just to make things okay when God's got something so much bigger for you. So what are you settling for? What are your $5 values today? Get rid of that $5 mentality. God created you to run. But you can't always live in the run. You got to have other gears. And God gave us a gear to walk. We got to downshift and remember that we are created for the speed of love too. And that's walk. I point back to the story of creation because it says that God would walk with Adam. Don't you love that? Now, I'm not quite sure if that's literal where God put on flesh, or that's a theophany where he just, it's a metaphor or a biblical representation of God. But the truth is the same. The creator brings himself down to the speed of his creation. Parents, are you bringing yourself down to the speed of your kids to connect? That doesn't mean that you have to be childish. But it does mean that you have to bring yourself to connect to them at every season of their life. We don't just hold them until they're in kindergarten, send them to school, and then high-five them at graduation and expect to have fantastic kids. Come on. Each season gives opportunities for connection. True relationships are not done at a run, but at a walk. I can run next to you. Have you ever ran with somebody? Like physically ran? Like you're on a track, you're on something? You can, yeah, I know what you're talking about. But you can't really connect when you're in a dead sprint. You can throw in your 2 cents. And this is what happens, is that we're running with people at work. We're having work relationships. We're having surface relationships. And we're having these moments where we can throw our 2 cents in. And in 2 cents relationships creates a lot of opportunities for hurt feelings, misunderstandings, misrepresentations. And then we're taking that same thing home with us, and we're running with our kids, giving our 2 cents here and there. Running with our spouse, giving our 2 cents here and there, but we're not slowing to connect with who they are. We're not connecting with them here. Just because you say the right things and have the perfect advice all the time doesn't mean it's making that 18-inch gap to their heart. Because this area here, the access requires connection, not just communication. Connect with the heart of the person by walking down. That's why you see all the blue-haired ladies walking around the mall. They're having great conversations, probably about you. But the truth is that you can't live at the pace of a run all the time. You're going to be out of breath. Dad, you got to see your kids' hearts. And I understand that we're built for run, but we're also got to understand you can downshift. You can't live your life in fifth gear. You can't start the truck and go at fifth gear. You got to build. You got to connect. You got to slow down. And dads, let me explain something to you. This is going to be uncomfortable. And without giving a good eye roll, let me show you something. Connect where they are. I'm not the best at this, not even close, but I'm trying to get better. You got to know what games your kids are playing. Not just football and baseball and basketball. Grab a controller and be horrible at Fortnite. Just stare at the sky and do circles as your kid come behind you and shoot you in the back of the head and makes fun of you. Be that dad to connect. Look at the apps that they're on their phone or their tablets or whatever it is. See what social media they have. Download it and follow them. Comment, because when they know mom and dad's commenting, I better be careful. You don't have to be cool or good at what you're doing. You just got to show interest in what they like. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be uncomfortable. And they're going to give you eye rolls and, oh, here we go. Dad, you're just horrible. It doesn't matter. Connect. Dads, take your daughter. Don't just give them some money. Go get a pedicure with them. Slow dance in the kitchen with them. Ask them about their friends. It's going to be a long conversation. And don't just be like, I don't like your friends. Your friends are stupid. Pop some popcorn, get some chocolate, grab some sweets, grab a blanket, and watch a movie. Preferably one that doesn't have the words blood, sniper, hacksaw, or die in the title. Sit with your daughter and watch a movie. I understand. It's super annoying sometimes. And I totally get the idea that it's unrealistic, that these two people were going to the store to get Dijon mustard, and there's only one can of Dijon mustard because the Dijon mustard shortage of 1825. And as they reached, their hands touched, and they fell in love. I understand that's unrealistic. That's not as close as realistic as the guy who is on the International Space Station, and all of a sudden there's an explosion. He floats around in the space and sees an alien invasion and has to defend the human race with nothing but a screwdriver and a protein bar. I get that that's way more realistic. And no one knows what he did. And he came home, and his parents, his wife's like, what have you been doing all day? And there's dead aliens everywhere. You made a mess? Like, yeah, seriously. Like, no, I get that that's not cool. But do your best. Sit there. You don't have to go on elaborate vacations. Just take a trip to Dollar General. Get them some candy. Let them pick it out. Sit on the couch with them. Watch a really annoying movie. And stay off your phone. Don't check your email or your text message or what's happening on Facebook. Just stay off. And then afterwards, be like, awesome choice. And then go wash your eyes out with some bleach. I don't care. But at that moment, be there. Connect. Connect with the heart of what's going on. The speed of love. It's one of the most important speeds. I'm going to show a video of a dad. I'm going to preface this. You can tell that this dad is heavily involved in his daughter's life. This is, I think, a two-year-old recital. We're going to play a couple of a minute or two of it. And you're going to see that the kid that's holding the instructor's hand has been trained by her dad in ballet. And God bless her, she loses it. She loses her mind. She can't get it together. And watch what takes place. Can you guys play that video for me, please? Yeah, that dad does his best to connect with his daughter. He knows her routine, obviously, and doesn't care about anything but being there for her in that moment. Instead of shrinking in the seat, feeling embarrassed because his daughter doesn't know what's going on, he takes the moment to go and be with her. Be with your kids. Be in those moments. Be in that opportunity with them. Lastly, we've had the speed of life and the speed of love. Lastly, we're at the speed of learn. God wants us to slow down enough to transfer to our kids. We run and we walk so that we can transfer. We have to teach them how to think because their lives and their future, it depends on it. One of my favorite Bible characters is David. David's a great story. It's a fantastic man. The story of David kind of goes like this. David is part of a shepherd family. His dad's name is Jesse. Jesse is not necessarily the best dad in the world, but he's obviously trying some things. But the prophet shows up to anoint the next king and says it's in Jesse's house. And Jesse has all of his sons except for David. Show up. It's got to hurt. Just got to sting just a little bit. But David gets anointed king anyways. And then his dad sends him back to the field to work some more. David then tries to connect to Saul, which Saul literally tries to impale him against a wall with a spear numerous times. David's not having the best luck with father figures right now in his life. Later on, David becomes king, and he serves Israel for 40 years as king. And at the end of his life, he transfers over to his son, Solomon, what it means to be a king. In 1 Kings chapter 2, it has this incredible story of that transfer. 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 11 through 12, it says this, "And the time that David reigned over Israel was 40 years. He reigned 7 years in Hebron, and 33 years in Jerusalem. So Solomon sat on the throne of David his father, and his kingdom was firmly established." It was established because of what his dad had done for him. Solomon didn't have to go to war because his dad had been preparing
for all of this time. I love this. So Solomon did what? He sat at his father's seat. It's one of the coolest verses for dads. First, David sat on the throne, but he was aware of the next generation, and he taught them what it means to be king, so one day they could take his spots. Later on in life, Solomon pins this verse in Proverbs 4 that I think is so powerful. Hear, O sons, a father's instructions, and attend to the understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law, for I, this is Solomon, was a son unto my father, which would be David, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. And he, David, taught me and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandment. One more verse. Get wisdom and get understanding. Forget not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. I love this. Solomon is saying, at once I was a son and I sat, now I'm a dad and I'm telling you the secrets to my success. Here's the kicker, parents. Your kids are learning something. And you're teaching your kids something, whether you realize it or not. You're showing them what's valuable and what's not. You're showing them what they should care about and what they shouldn't, whether you're communicating those things or not. Yeah, David took a way different approach than his father and invested heavily into Solomon's life. But are we just teaching our kids how to rebuild carburetors or how to throw a ball? Or are we teaching them important things in life? And the important things in life are not memorizing Bible verses. I know that's hard to think, understand, but the most important thing to teach your kids is how to think. Teaching your kids how to think is way bigger than just memorization of a Bible verse. It's important to understand and to think about how we live in this world. Things like, why am I here? Why is there bad stuff? Does it really matter what I do? What happens after I die? And well, God's good, why do bad things happen? See, I love car rides with my dad. My dad would take me a car ride. He would be in that truck, and we would drive. He would drive. I would sit. And he would shift gears, and then every once in a while, he would downshift to fourth gear, and as he'd let's go to go back to the wheel, he would just slap me in the chest really, really hard. Sounds like abuse, but he loved it. No. It was funny. We would laugh. He'd knock the wind out of me, and then he would just like fake do it. It was all fun. It was great. But we had these long conversations, and we'd have these moments where he would ask me questions, and I would answer, and we'd talk back and forth. It was a good time to sit and have a real conversation about things in life. One of the best I've seen do this is actually Ira. Sorry, Ira, I'm pulling you out without permission. Ira would go on dates with his daughters, whether it was coffee dates or something else, and then he would ask them questions about real issues that are taking place in the world, what they thought, what he thought, and they would have these conversations because what you're doing is not just, it's helping them frame how to think, how to experience life. You're teaching them new areas of life to grow in. Somebody's teaching them. Why not you?
That's right.
There's different perspectives than what they're being taught at school. There's different perspective than what's on TikTok, than what's on Snapchat, than what's on social media, than what's on every area that's telling them how to think. There's other perspectives, and that perspective is important to hear. Parents, when you sit down with your kids, don't freak out when they give you an answer that you don't like. What do you think about this? Blah, and you're going, whoa. Because next time, they're not going to open up. Don't freak out because they're expressing what's happening up here and here, and it's your role to help shape that. Just because they say blah, and it's a totally opposite of you, doesn't mean they're bad kids. What it means is you've got work. Congratulations. You've got moments to connect with your kids. It's beautiful. All right. We'll do a quick example. We got time. Can you throw up Ephesians 5 for me? Ephesians 5 is probably one of the easiest examples I can use. Ephesians 5 says, and be not drunk with wine. Pause. Why? This is a verse that's thrown out there. Don't drink, don't be drunk, the end. Do you ever sit back and ask why?
But why? Well, why can't I? Because the Bible says so. That doesn't work. This generation does want to know why, and the word why is not rebellion. It's inquisitive. Just because they ask a question doesn't mean they're bucking your authority. But it's a great opportunity for you to teach them what it means and why you do what you do. Here in this verse here, be not drunk. People go, well, the Bible just says it. That's it. So God doesn't want me to have fun because I watch TV and it looks pretty fun. My friends do it and it looks awesome. But I can't. Why? Well, let's talk about Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 is about being different than the world. Separating yourself. Being a little bit different. Showing that you have something different. So God's just saying, don't have fun to show we're fuddy-duddies and we just can't have fun. Being a Christian means being a loser. Got it. No, that's not what it means. That's not what it means. See, God sent Christ on this earth to seek and save all that was lost. In other words, he wants to remove the painful experiences that you've already encountered. And a lot of times when we get too much alcohol in our system, we do things and say things that are stupid. And we wake up the next day with regret and pain. And God here in this verse is going, hey, I love you enough to not have you experience pain for the rest of your life because of one bad night's decision. So don't be stupid. This will help you think clearly. See that conversation there? That's what you're doing with your kids. That's the stuff that you're having these moments with. But that does mean you have to read the Bible too. That does mean that you have to engage. And you have to ask the why. You have to ask, well, what, why is that happening? Why was it okay for this to take place? What was taken? How do I feel about it today? Culture does change. And the problem is that we are settling for Bible verse memory rhymes and VeggieTales videos that were great at the ages of 2, 3, and 4. But now that they're 13, 14, and 15, their thoughts and their minds have changed. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. But now your kids are growing up. And you need to look at them as future adults. And begin having those conversations beyond this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. It's time that we get into more deep conversations to teach them. Because dads, here's what you're doing. I know this is kind of morbid for Father's Day. But you're teaching them how to live after you're not. You're showing them how to be successful when you're gone. Come on. And that's not a fun thought, but that's what we're supposed to do. Because if we cannot pass what we have in our experiences to the next generation, they're going to end with us. Your culture and your beliefs cannot stop because of a $5 spiritual life. Because you're not willing to have a hard conversation, an uncomfortable conversation, a time-consuming conversation. So here in this moment, we're getting ready to close. And here's where we are. Ask yourself today, what am I really good at? Maybe you're good at the run. Maybe you're good at the speed of life. Maybe putting in 80 hours providing for your family is something that's just cake for you. That's awesome. It's beautiful. I'm proud that you can work hard. We are all, Pastor Allen's proud that you're a hardworking guy. Ladies, we're happy that you are hardworking. Read Proverbs 31. That woman worked hard. But what are the areas that you're not very good at? Maybe you're great at working hard. Maybe you're great at playing video games and doing manicures and pedicures and watching chick flicks or whatever it is that you're doing, but you're not taking it a step further to get to the heart and teach. It's okay, but we learn to pivot. When I opened up, I talked about what I love about my dad, and it's learning to pivot and to grow. The man you see today is not the same man that I grew up with. And that's beautiful. Your kids should be able to look at their kids and go, wow, your grandpa, your grandma has grown so much over the years. Because we are continuing to grow too. Or maybe you're really great at connecting.
Maybe you're really great at the walk or the sit, but you're not great at work. Get better. It's okay. These are the moments that we learn. What are the $5 moments, the $5 mindsets, the potato excuses that we've gotten used to? It's too hard. I'm going to be counted out before I start. They're not going to like me. What's the point of trying? I'm going to be whatever it is. I didn't say it was going to be easy, but it is within reach. Am I passing down my heart and my heritage, or am I just passing down working and giving them money? Am I connecting with my kids? Am I connecting with my spouse? Am I connecting with those that I really love? Or am I just being a 2-cent passerby? And do I show them how to love and to learn? Am I expecting others to do all the learning for me? I'm sending them to school. They go to kids' church. They go to a youth group. That's good enough. They need a father's voice. They need car rides, coffee talks. They need to put down the tablets and the phones and to have a 10 minute. I'm not saying that you have to lock yourself up into a cabin for 40 days and 40 nights and go primal. I'm saying a 10 minute car ride. If you haven't paid attention in the past 6 months, our world has shifted dramatically. There's plenty to talk about. If you can't find something to talk about with the past 6 months, wow. There's a lot going on that you can connect with. So today, let's take that moment. Let's pray. This is the moment that we get to do a gut check on where we're good at and where we need to change. This is the moment that we slow down and go, am I good at running? Am I good at walking? Am I good at sitting? Am I great at all of it? Where can I improve? Am I bad at all of it? And before we try to implement and emulate somebody else, let's first talk to our dad. Let's talk to God. So let's start with this. God, we welcome you into these places. We need your fatherly voice into our life, in every area of our lives. Areas of my life, God, where I personally, maybe some of these other men and women can attest to, that they have shut down, or they've gotten too busy for, or they haven't been paying attention to, the areas of our lives that we're not connecting, that we're not building, that we're not growing in. God, today, right now, while they're fresh before our eyes, we repent before you and say we can do better with your help. So God, continue to give us ideas. Your word says if any man lacks wisdom, to ask, and you freely give it. So God, today we ask for wisdom on this Father's Day. Wisdom to pass to the next generation. God, today, let us not live life full of condemnation or beating ourselves up over the head for things that we did years and years and years ago. Maybe when our kids were small. Maybe the words that we said. But God, let us repent and move on and train up a generation in the way they're supposed to go. God, we love you and we need your help today more than ever before. We value your voice above all else. We will teach our kids to love you first and foremost. In your name, amen and amen. Thank you guys so much for being with us today. Real quick, maybe you didn't have a good dad like me. Neither did David. He became a great one because he's willing to grow. Connect to the right source today. If you need help with anything, come see me after service. I don't have the answers. He probably does. So I'll pass them on to somebody else. But today is a day of fathers. We're so happy that you're with us today. We love you. Be blessed. We'll see you guys shortly. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have a great week.